Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop. How's everybody doing out there? George, how you doing? Having a great week?
Had a great week and a great weekend, too. So great to be back.
It's good to be back, and it's always good to have everybody out there watching us or listening or whatever it is they do. Our guest today is right below us. That is Chris Fries. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How you been?
We've been good, and it's been a long time since you've been on.
But
we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff and all the stuff that you're doing and how to become successful at voiceover, you know, which I guess is what this show is about. So stay tuned. Chris Fries is with us on VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, the home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, the folks who bring you Source Connect. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. VoiceActor.com, your voiceover website ready in minutes. VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for voiceover success. And by World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. And now, here's your hosts, Dan and George.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Oh, another week, another show.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong button. Yeah. Sorry. I forgot we had Chris on. I should have had this one.
Ah, that works better. Okay. So anyway, okay. You know, my wife is like, are you doing your show tonight? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, I thought you just did it last week. No, it's been 2 weeks since we did the show. God, time just
life
goes
moves
by.
Pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around for a while, you might miss it.
Yeah. Well, we were looking around all weekend. We went to all of these natural gardens all over Southern California over the weekend. And after you see a couple of, you know, sustainable gardens, you know, that are all desert plants, it's like, all right, we saw this at the last house. Okay, they still have the, well, yellow lupins. Who knew there were yellow lupins?
I love going on the nature and seeing the flowers right now. It's a great time to be outside in Southern California.
Yeah.
Mountain biking through the flowers, having flowers stuck in my beard, my handlebars. It's a lot of fun. It's a really pretty time to be outside.
It is. And we've got super bloom going on right now with all the rain we've had here.
Oh, yeah. It's happening. It's popping.
Exactly. Yeah. So I keep wondering, why has it been so cold here in Southern California? Because hell is frozen over, I guess. Anyway.
We've had a lot of rain.
Exactly. It is time to introduce our very, very special guest who's going to be talking with us for the next hour. Chris Fries is currently the voice of Dodge, Chevron, America's Best, and Kubota. They're the guys that make the little high lift things, and has recent national campaigns for spots for BF Goodrich, Blue Def. He'll have to tell us what that is. Credit Karma, Shields, Peak, TGI Fridays, and is or has recently voiced promos for History Channel, ESPN, Fox, and others, plus lots of video game performances, which we'll talk about. And it's time to welcome back to our show after a 7-year absence, Chris Fries. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's great to have you back on. Yeah, we were looking. It's like we hadn't been on since like we moved the show to Southern California.
Since God was a boy.
Crazy when you said we should have Chris on. I was like, didn't we just have? Oh, 2015.
Whoosh.
I see Chris four times a year, usually at his place to do studio maintenance. So I see Chris all the time, but so you lose track of time. But it's great to see you here on the show. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Oh, so thrilled to be here.
All right. Well, let's get into the meat of the matter. You know, since you haven't been here for a while, and perhaps many in our audience are not familiar with you, even though they probably are, since telling him all the different things that you've been doing. Tell us a little bit about your background and training and how you got into this crazy nutty business.
Yeah. No, I've been full-time voiceover since 2004. And it was a long journey. I started off in radio, was in a college radio station, tried to get a foothold, wanted to be an on-air personality in radio, worked in the promotions department and was a board operator at a local radio station and trying to get a foothold there. And never really got on air or anything like that. That was something that I was told repeatedly, oh, you don't really have what it takes. You don't really have the voice for it. You don't really have the sound for it. But, you know, you do good work in the promo department. And I'm like, oh, well, thanks. Maybe someday. I eventually got out of that line of work altogether and in trying to find full-time radio work. Went in municipal government, which was a soul-crushing job. For 10 years, detoured away from working with my voice or trying to, eventually then was laid off, from that job in 2004 and wanted to just take the plunge in voiceover. And, I started taking classes, found out that, you know, how to kind of get started in taking a bunch of group classes. I live in Orange County, California, which is about 40, 45 miles outside of LA, Hollywood area. So it wasn't too bad to get into L.A. for the classes. At that time, all the classes were up in L.A., so I'd go 2-3 times a week and just take those group classes with the voice caster, Kalmanson, Elaine Craig, all the places up there that anybody in the Southern California area that's been in the business for a while is very familiar with. And just kept taking classes. That was the big thing, was the education side, is learning the craft. It's one thing to be told that, oh, you got a good voice, you should do voiceover or whatever, or, you know, you have a good speaking voice, but you have to learn how to act, basically. And, so I had to figure that out. I was lousy at first, but, got better and better. Made a demo probably a little too soon. And, but then still ended up getting, you know, early representation, some regional agents. It took probably about 4 years from 2004 to 2008 of just training, working on those pay to play sites. Back then they were, not as strong as I guess they are now. I haven't worked in those pay to plays like the voices.com, Voice123, those types of things. But, I think it was helpful for me early in my career to do those and get some experience, because I didn't have representation back then. So how do you work if you don't have an agent? Because an agent gets you work. So these pay-to-plays kind of helped with that and get me some early experience. But then the regional agents started to kind of slowly trickle in a couple of jobs here and there, and eventually got LA representation and got my first national campaign in 2008. It was a Minute Maid commercial, and I was thrilled with it. It was aired on national network TV during American Idol back then. It was very, very popular, and the Beijing Olympics was on. It aired during that. So friends are calling and saying, hey, you're on American Idol. I'm like, I'm watching American Idol, but I taped it and I was fast forwarding. So I fast forwarded through my own debut commercial, which was, so they got to rewind.
I love it.
But don't skip
the commercials, folks.
That's the moral of the story. Now, of course, if I ever see a commercial, especially if the family's in the family room with me, and it's always fast forwarding through, and I might recognize a Dodge spot or something that's airing. I'm like, oh, hey, let's go back. And they're like, what are you stopping for? I'm like, hey, my Dodge commercial. Come on, Dad, fast forward. Yeah, no, exactly. We've seen it before.
eye rolling.
I'm so my family's so proud of me. I can just it just warms my heart, the love that they have for what I do. It warms my heart. I still get a thrill hearing myself. Although it is funny, if I hear myself in any application, a video game, a commercial, a promo, I always think, I could have done that better. I should have made the turn a little brighter, or sped up that tag a little bit more, emphasize that word. I'm constantly tinkering and never fully satisfied, which is a burden and a blessing at the same time, because I'm kind of a perfectionist with that kind of thing. It took a few years to get the traction going. 2008, then by about 2010, two more years before I was kind of making enough to consider myself a working actor. it was a long road, and now I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams. So it's been a good ride.
Yeah. Well, I would say you're the perfect example of whose voice is that? We hear you in everything. I mean, what have we been hearing?
You're a bit of a chameleon too, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, what have we heard you in lately, like in 2023?
There's a few campaigns that are, and that's kind of the big thing with voice actors is especially if you do commercials or promos, and that is, it's not just the one-offs. I've got a lot of one-off commercials that something that runs randomly in a regional part of the country, and then it's gone after a month or two. But to get the campaigns, to get that passive income, going. Is something that every voice actor really strives for, and I'm blessed with a few campaigns. One of which is Dodge, all the muscle cars for Dodge. I do America's Best. I'm the voice of the owl, that optometry line, and Chevron, the animated cars that are zipping around. I've been on that campaign for several years. Kubota, the tractors and utility vehicles and construction equipment and stuff like that. It's funny with the Kubota, and that there's a kind of a signature sound that I might have, and everybody kind of has in voiceover. It's what you want to try to start. That's your kind of, what's your wheelhouse? And I think my area is, I guess I can have some versatility and range to do something bright and friendly like Chevron. I tend to go back and get the bulk of my work in my signature sound, which is going to be that casual, blue collar, folksy kind of thing. So I do a lot of stuff with, say, Kubota, and a lot of agricultural spots and stuff. So I've got some friends that are in certain rural parts of the country, and they tell me they can't swing a dead cat without hearing one of my ag spots pop up. So I'm like, that's a wonderful analogy. Thank you.
Yeah, how much fun it is swinging dead cats, Ron.
Swinging dead cats in those spots. But the commercial campaigns have been really going well. There's a few others. And the promo work that I do for like History Channel, ESPN, every season, like college football, I do the ESPN game of the week. I do a lot of stuff for Fox in that same realm too. So I guess in that same realm of doing agriculture spots, kind of the hand in hand of the blue collar is sports and stuff. So that seems to, and that's a lot of fun because I'm a big sports fan. So it's always a big, I get a big kick out of doing stuff like that. Because I'm a fan. So
that's important. Anyway. Yeah, if you're just joining us, our guest tonight is the one and only Chris Fries, who does just about, sounds like everything in voiceover that somebody should be able to do. Everybody specializes in one thing or another. You seem to be crossing the entire gamut of everything that's out there. And
sure is easier to be enthusiastic about a product that you actually are enthusiastic about.
Yeah.
You know, true. And that's always the thing in voiceover where if I believe it, if I feel it, if I have an interest or a drive or something behind that, it's so much easier to be able to communicate that and to come across in those auditions as somebody that, hey, this guy seems to stand apart. Why? Because there's a passion behind it. And
absolutely.
I can bring maybe I bring a little something different that kind of helps me stand out.
That's great. If you've got a question for Chris, and that's all of you out there, and I know there's a bunch of you watching right now, about his career or some advice or whatever it is you want to ask him, throw it in the chat room right now, whether you're in Facebook Live or you're in YouTube Live or even on LinkedIn, because I know we're over there now, too. We're everywhere. If you got a question, throw it in the chat room, and we will get to those questions in just a little bit. So we look forward to hearing from you. So with all of these different things that you're doing, although you sort of answered this, but give it, be a little bit more specific, what's your favorite stuff to do?
Mm. I think, yeah, because of the passion of the interest in, like, say, the sports stuff, I just really get a kick out of that. And then also some of the video game stuff that I do. It's some of my harder work, but some of the titles I've been in, I think three or four of the Call of Duties, more recently Saints Row, Mass Effect, I gotta look at some of them. After a while, it's like it's tough to kind of keep track. It's wonderful work, but it just becomes, if you do an decent number of them, they start to kind of like, what am I this week? You know, what kind of monster, alien, hero, villain have I become? But that's part of what the appeal is because that you really get to kind of stretch your creative legs a lot more. Say if I were to do something for one of my commercial campaigns, you know, the America's Best the Owl is a fun campaign, and that's just there's the snarky owl, and that's just me being kind of a smart ass, you know, basically, you know, so it's just that sarcastic kind of me. Dodge is, you know, that more intense me. But when I'm like doing, you know, Saints Row and I'm playing, you know, this psychotic killer or something like that in a game, that's just me just completely being a kid with an active imagination and some, you know, a person that I'm not at all, but like this is my interpretation of that, and I just can you know, have an active imagination. That's why I think some people talk about, oh, I came from a radio background. Well, I tried to come from a radio background. I'm really not a radio guy. I didn't do theater or drama or come from TV or a film. So as far as how I developed my acting, of course, you know, the classes and training and that. But I think where was my origin? It was me playing make-believe as a kid and just being really good at it, I guess. And now I can, as an adult, I'll play make-believe. And because it's being able to come up with a point of view, because make-believe is really just having a point of view that's just out there and unique and buying into it. So with voiceover, it just kind of allows me to continue to do that. And so whenever I'm doing a character or a role or something in a video game, a promo and a commercial, it's just me with a certain point of view, feeling a certain way. Instead of being, like the specs would say, casual, natural, conversational, people, I think, get misled by following specs like that. And it's very easy to do so. Instead of being casual, natural, conversational, when am I casual, natural, conversational? You know, George, when George comes over, the, you know, four times a year, and we talk about family and hobbies and, you know, vacations and just life. And that's casual, natural, conversational. So, George, I don't know if you realize this, many, many times you are my muse in my you know, points of view for commercial reads. So
you're really thinking of like the guy that you just spoke to recently in your head, like, oh, George was here, I should.
Oh, a lot of times, and I'll use what they call, you know, these lead-ins where I'll think about, oh, casually, and I'll think about like a conversation where you're like, hey, George, you know, yeah, when we went mount biking the other day, and you know, da 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 da, and it just kind of seamlessly flows into this great point of view. So I'm being natural, conversational, and casual, but I'm not thinking about that. I'm just thinking about me and my friend George talking about biking or vacations or family. It makes it so much easier to make the copy believable, because now I actually have my personality in it instead of me trying to be synthetic with a spec.
Right. That sort of brings me to my next thing. We've seen that you've been doing a lot of video games. I mean, you started mentioning, you know, a partial list of the ones you've been doing. So you were doing voiceover all these years. When did you start finding yourself into video games, and how did you get cast for those?
Yeah, I was with AVO Talent Agency and Sandy Schnarr. Actually, at the time they were Sandy Schnarr Talent before she merged with Peter Verano and became AVO Talent. And she was my first major LA agent. And I didn't even consider myself to be a video game actor. I was thinking that the commercials, and she was like, you know, your sound, you know, you got this kind of gruffness, masculine, whatever. I think you could do well in like some video games, maybe like some war movie or war games or sci-fi or whatever. And I'm like, all right, okay. So my first two video games were kind of notable. One was, I think it was Resistance 2, one of the Resistance series games. And I was Soldier Number 5 or something like that. It's a very, you know, big starring role. And the director was asking, we were doing these battle cries and death screams. And I didn't have any real background in this. So they were just like describing different things as far as like, okay, your acid is being poured over you. Give a pain reaction to that. Go. They're like, well, let me see. The last time acid was poured over me, it kind of hurt. But there would be these, but interestingly enough, it solicited a specific sound, like, oh my God, that would sound like, and I would let out a blood curdling scream. Or then they'd say, okay, now your heart is being carved out with a spoon. What would that go? And I'm like, good Lord, this is a violent game. But anyway, but it would solicit these different the reactions. So the director actually did a very good job. And I got these really unique, different death cries and pain reactions and stuff. And but one of the problems was just a few minutes into the session, I didn't really know how to yell properly. Now you're thinking, is there a certain way to actually yell and scream?
If you don't want to wear out your voice, yeah.
Well, where were you, Dan, when I...
I'm sorry.
I was not aware of how this yelling on a constant high level for up to 4 hour sessions could wear out your voice. So after a couple of these blood-curdling death cries, I literally blew out my voice, and it was just like, yelling, and all of a sudden, all I could talk was basically like this. It was mortifying. We limped through the session from that point forward. But I learned a valuable lesson in how to use my instrument properly. It didn't cost me too much because I thought, oh God, this is bad. The next game that I auditioned and booked was Call of Duty World at War. And I think it's the biggest, video game franchise, in the history of. And the really cool thing was I was third billing on as far as my character below Gary Oldman and Kiefer Sutherland. This is pretty good company to be in.
I'd say.
but I ended up dying at level 4 or something like that. And then Kiefer Sutherland, who was my corporal underneath me, I was Sergeant Sullivan and then Kiefer Sutherland was the corporal that ended up taking over for me since I died and led on to the end of the game and whatever. But there was it was very complimentary to me how it was the Save Sergeant Sullivan campaign was online and people were trying to find, is there a secret way to save? Because I opened these double doors and this is set during World War II in the Pacific, and Japanese soldier samurais me in the gut, and then that's the end of Sergeant Sullivan. So people kept on in these chat rooms and trying to find, is there a secret way to save Sergeant Sullivan?
Yeah, the cheat code in there somewhere. Yeah.
there was no secret way to save Sergeant Sullivan. That was it.
Did you ever channel any of your past careers into your work? I'm thinking of one particular job.
Good segue, George. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. During my quest in the early days of voiceover, I got started in 2004, and I was spending a lot of money at that time, classes and equipment and stuff like that, not making virtually anything. So I needed to pick up some extra work because I had been in municipal government, working in parks and recreation of all things. And promoting and doing well in that career. But when I got laid off, I had no more revenue. My wife was the breadwinner, and I was the bread eater at that point. So I needed to help contribute to the household income. But I needed to be able to leave my days free because I'm auditioning, I'm going into LA, and I need to keep my days free. So I was thinking, and I didn't even want to do like the bartender route or the waiter route. Because sometimes you'd still start at 5 or 6 and whatever. And then sometimes I'd be in LA until that time. And it just, I needed a graveyard shift. is what I was wanting. Mm. So I was going to work at like a 7-Eleven or a gas station or something like that, just to, you know, minimum wage. I, you know, no, not too proud to beg, basically. I'll do whatever and help contribute. A buddy of mine, he's a deputy, well, now a sergeant in the LA County Sheriff's Department. And he was telling me, oh, you want a graveyard shift job? Oh my God. They're hiring as a jailer, you know, graveyard shift. And it's easy. You get benefits, the pay. Oh, it's way more. I mean, it's salaried. It's not an hourly job. So you get good money. And like I said, the benefits and everything, and no problem getting graveyard shift. They actually having trouble getting people to work the graveyard shift. So I, like a dope, I'm like, sounds like a good idea. Let's do it. So anyway, I go and become a jailer. And I mean, at the time, I'm in my mid-30s. And I had to go through like this police academy for jailers for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. And then, you know, so yeah, I'm getting screamed at. And of course, this class of new jailers is they're mostly in their young 20s, and I'm pops to everybody. I'm the grandpa, so I'm keeping up physically. You know, I came in shape. I wanted to make sure that I was you know, able to kind of hold my own, and I was. And so I worked as a jailer in downtown LA at Men's Central Jail for you know, about a year or so, working the graveyard shift. And boy, the stories I could tell just based on that. But <Yeah. laughs> like a lot of my video games, that's rated M for mature. So
once again, we're talking with Chris Fries. If you got a question for Chris about anything to do with voiceover, because he's probably done it, throw it in the chat room right now, and we'll get to that question in just a little bit. So I hear that you're now coaching. Tell us a little bit why you're doing that and how you're doing that.
You know, it happened innocently enough. I was, as I started working then, so about 2008, I, you know, booked that first campaign, 2010, I'm starting to work pretty regular. And shortly after 2010, as bookings are just, you know, increasing and increasing, I get contacted by aspiring actors wanting to know how to get in the business. And at first it was just like, oh, you know, a little advice, a little send an email. And I was always shocked and surprised at how people, you know, found me, knew about me or whatever. But they would find me, track me down, and know that I was in whatever video game or whatever commercial campaign, and they find me and ask me questions. So, and I was like more than happy to you know, answer any of their questions. And it was just started off with emails, and then there was a another colleague of mine that I was toward the end of taking all these group classes. I was towards the end of that period in my career of taking some of the group classes, and this other student was just starting. Nice guy though, we hit it off real well. And and he was just starting, and I was kind of graduating from that, so to speak, still taking private lessons and stuff from certain instructors, but not taking the group classes anymore. We still kept in touch, and he was wanting to continue to, you know, use me as a sounding board, as ask questions and stuff, and asked me if I could coach him. And I was like, oh, I'm not qualified to coach. I mean, I'm, you know, formulating my, you know, way of acting and point of view and all those things. I'm like, I'll tell you what, no charge or anything. Let's read together. Let's read. And I'll give you some advice. I'll give you some direction for what it's worth. And, so we did that a few times, and it seemed to come real natural to me. And like I said, I'd taken group classes from all the, you know, the big, casting directors and instructors. And then I took a bunch of private lessons from the likes of Joyce Castellanos, Maurice Tobias, Jody Gottlieb, Elaine Craig, Huck Liggett, you know, a lot of the tops in the industry. So I took all this knowledge that I had gained from the group classes, from the individual private coaching. And then, of course, then I'm starting to work. So directors are directing me in a certain way that I'm starting to understand what they want and how they want to get it. So all these little nuggets of information I'm just processing, and it kind of developed into my own way that this seems to be the most effective way for me to work and to improve and to give my best performance. So I'll just communicate that to, you know, my friends. And so my first students were you know, free lessons to basically my friends, that they seemed to really respond to it. It seemed to really work, and it seemed to come naturally to me. And then,
what did they say? You teach best what you need to learn the most. Is that what the saying is?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That's what I always hear. I mean,
So and then I think it got to a point where I would get contacted again by somebody saying, hey, do you coach due to, you know, I'm like, you know, yeah. And I could say at a very modest price back in the early days, I would, you know, coach, and it seemed to really work. And then it was just kind of a word of mouth thing. I still, to this point, don't actively, market myself beyond mentioning it here, or, you know, people, you know, mentioning it or something. It's just kind of, it's just a word of mouth, and it's kind of taken a life of its own. I keep a pretty small stable of students because of the fact that I'm still working, you know, very regularly. So it's, I can't fill up my schedule with, students, and that. So, but as students kind of, you know, they come and go and that, so we fit them in and it kind of works, but it started off innocently enough, and then it just kind of took a life of its own. And I even speak every semester at the drama department over at Cal State Fullerton. They have me come in and be a guest speaker, and I talk about voiceover and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. So
yeah, it's a familiar story, and nothing's more fun than teaching. Once again, our guest is Chris Fries, and we're talking about all the stuff that he's doing. And again, if you've got a question, throw it in the chat room, and we're going to get to those in just a little bit. But we're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be right back with Chris Fries right after this.
This is the Latin Lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The Voiceover Body Shop.
Vacation time is just around the corner. Around the world. For example, here's Australian voiceover pro Andrew Peters on vacation in London recording a commercial with his Portabooth Pro. Why is the Portabooth Pro gaining users worldwide? Well, just listen.
Winter's tough. The rain, the wind, the cold.
Performers can capture great audio even in acoustically untreated spaces with the Portabooth Pro. Your microphone hears the sound of a human-sized sound booth at a fraction of the size and cost. The Pro accommodates large and long microphones, lengthy scripts, and e-reading devices. The Harlan Hogan Portabooth Pro is lined with Auralex Studio Foam. It's a professional quality sound studio that assembles in less than a minute. And its multi-pocketed carrying case makes it super easy to take your gear and your voice wherever you go. Order your Harlan Hogan Portabooth Pro now, just $389.99, only at voiceoveressentials.com.
If you haven't heard, myself and the crew over at my podcast, The Pro Audio Suite, have collaborated with Centrance to create our very own audio interface that's specifically designed for voiceover actors. It's called the Passport VO, and it is an amazing product that we want to bring to the world, but we cannot do it without reaching a special goal. We have to have pre-sold 100 units in order for Centrance to put this product into production. I'll tell you, there are just no audio interfaces that check every single box that's really important to a voiceover actor. And this thing also replaces multiple pieces of gear in a studio, like a mic mute switch, a mic switcher. So you have the ability to switch between two microphones at any time with the press of a button, each one of them at the right gain. It has two audio interfaces inside the box. So one is dedicated to recording and the other one dedicated to communications like Zoom and Source Connect. You can do playbacks. It's all built in. Head over to Centrance.com/PassportVO if you're interested in picking up one. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is George the Tech. I hope you have a great one.
Hey, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and we talk a lot in this business about moving forward with our career, getting more information. We often don't talk about simply getting started. It can be one of the most immovable objects in our life, getting out of our own way and just simply taking the first step. And if you're watching this podcast, Voiceover Body Shop, for some tips on how to get started in voiceover, or to change something about your voiceover career, or to increase your knowledge in a certain area, check out voheroes.com's Getting Started in Voiceover. If you go to voheroes.com/start, you'll get all the information. It's really cheap, and I give you a lot to get started in the business, but you might also learn something if you've been in the voiceover business for a while. voheroes.com/start. That's voheroes.com/start.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
All right, we're back with Chris Fries. Hey, George, you know something? You suddenly learn how to read an entire spot all the way through without taking a break?
No, that is just really freaking good editing.
That's what that is.
Impressive. I always tell voice actors, you're going to be either good at one or probably both, but more than likely one or the other. You're going to be really good at reading scripts and writing them, or you're going to be really, really good at editing them. So if you want to be a voice actor, learn to be a voice actor. I am not. I'm a producer editor. I can edit. So anyway, thank you.
trying to do a 60-second read, and you're like at the last word, and like, oh, shoot. Try to go back and edit that out.
That is just very clever editing.
Yeah, that's why you never do the video and the audio at the same time. It's like you cover it with pictures. That's what usually works best. Anyway, we're talking with Chris Fries, and we're talking about all the stuff that he's doing, and we got lots of questions from our vast audience out there all across the Fruited Plain and other points on the planet. Why don't you start with the first one from Keela Ward? There's a name we haven't heard before.
Sure thing. I'm very interested in VO. I had a demo put together, and now I'm looking to start auditioning for audiobooks. I have my EIN. That's, you need that. That's true, to get paid by big jobs. Should I get an LLC? And what business entity is best in this line of work? Chris, I have my own answer. I think all three
have an answer for that one.
Yeah. Chris, do you have any info on that to shed light on that?
You know, I have become a corporation, and I am an employee of one, and it's worked out for me from a tax standpoint as far as the expenses and that. So, yeah, I am a corporation, I think a C-Corp, S-Corp. I got to talk to my accountant about that. Yes. So, anyway, but I am a corporation and it has worked out well for me and from a tax standpoint, but I cannot speak too intelligently on the beyond that, but it does work for me. Yeah.
It's certainly different for everybody. And you really do need to talk to a CPA because I have been doing business in California since 2004 and yet I'm still not an LLC. I keep being told it's not worth it for the amount that I'm earning yet. So it really does depend on your position, who your CPA is, and their attitude about things such as LLCs. Depends on the state you're in, of course, too, because some states it's very expensive to organize. In others, it's very cheap. You definitely want to talk to a tax professional. Yeah. But I wouldn't worry about that at the very, very beginning of your
career. Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
I didn't work on something like that until I started to book about that 2010 time. So I got started, like I said, 2004. And I wasn't really making very much to have it be worth my while. And then I transitioned over once the revenue started to come in a little bit better.
Yeah, that makes sense. Greg Cooper asks, how did you decide to focus on specific genres like video games?
You know, it wasn't something that I manually, like, I want to do this. It was just where where the bookings kind of led me to, and also a lot of direction and guidance from my agents. I didn't think that there were certain things where, like ADR, voice matching and stuff, that I started booking in those areas. My agent thought, you kind of sound like Thomas Hayden Church, or you kind of sound like Jeff Bridges. You should do this voice match for him, or this character actor, you know, sound like him, or this. I don't think I sound like any of those people, but I have booked at least a dozen different voice matches. And I don't consider myself to be good at impersonating any of these, and whenever I hear the end result, I did a couple of movies for Jeff Bridges. One of them was R.I.P.D. with Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges. And he has this, Jeff Bridges has this very slurry kind of Texas accent, and he kind of talks like this. And in R.I.P.D., he plays this old Western sheriff that comes back to, you know, in the afterlife.
That was a fun movie. I watched
it. It was a lot of fun. It was special effects and whatever.
That was,
I guess, what worked. And it was funny in the, I guess in post-production, how some of that worked was some of his lines, some of his words were unintelligible. And they're in post-production. No. And he's not. Yeah. And unintelligible. Who knew? And Mr. Bridges was unavailable to do the pickups. So they need a voice match to step in. And so I was able to do that in certain parts of the movie and in the trailer. And for me, because you know your own voice. But for me, whenever I've watched that movie or seen the trailer or whatever, I know exactly where I am and where Jeff is. And when I play the movie or the scene for somebody else, and I'm like, can you hear it? Can you isn't it obvious? This is embarrassing. Oh my God. And they're like, what are you talking about? Where I start and he starts, and how you could totally hear the difference. He's like, where did you start and where did he start? I couldn't tell. So they couldn't tell, but I could. So,
well, you knew where you were.
And I think we all know our own voice so well, so we can totally hear the difference, but other people couldn't. And I guess that's the point. So I didn't really hear it in myself, but yeah, like I said, I booked a lot of different in that area, and it was what led me to whatever, video games, commercials, promos. I trained in really a lot of things and everything. I tried audiobooks. But for me, I think audiobooks are wonderful as far as I love listening to them, and I think the voice talents that do audiobooks are exceptionally talented people. I don't have the attention span and the endurance to do an audiobook. So it was an area where I tried, but I couldn't, that didn't seem to be a comfort zone for me. I have a very short attention span, apparently. So I kind of stayed in my lane with some of the jobs, but I trained in a little bit of everything to see what I liked, what I was good at, what I could book. And from a revenue standpoint, I'm trying to make money here, and I don't want to limit myself to just one genre of voiceover when there are several genres available, and maybe I can book here and there. And so, I mean, I was led based on the belief that my agents had in me, and they thought, you sound like you could do this, or I think you could do that. I had no idea. And the belief that the agents had in me was critical, because if you're not at the right agency where they're just cattle calls and they're just churning out, here's the audition, whatever. I still get a lot of stuff where I've just given auditions, but at some of the top agencies, when you get to those A-level agencies, the CESDs, the Atlases, the DPNs, the SBVs, then you have to have somebody that's kind of in your corner, going to bat for you, pitching you for certain things, and then telling you, hey, I think you should do this and that. And it really helped my career, because I had no idea that I could do a lot of the things that I ended up booking, but it was purely because I had great agents behind me, starting with Sandy Schnarr, and now I've been at CESD now since 2009, and they've just taken wonderful care of me, and they go to bat for me daily and put me in the front of the line in a lot of opportunities, and changed my career for sure for the best, but it's just where I was led. And so now most of my work is in commercial video games, promos, and then like in-show narration, documentaries and stuff for like History Channel and Discovery Channel, stuff like that.
All right. This cool. one comes from Grace Newton saying, have you ever had a facepalm moment or made a disastrous mistake in your career? And then how did you handle it? We all learn from our mistakes, right, Chris?
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, I guess my blowing out my voice in my very first video game session would be definitely the, yeah. the facepalm moment. Mm-hmm. But I've managed to sidestep quite a few landmines. I took a lot of good advice from a lot of good people. My mentor, you know, you guys know Scott Rummel, and you know, now, you know, good dear friend of mine and stuff. He gave me a lot of guidance on the do's and don'ts and the things to worry about and the things not to worry about. I was always just so anxious about any odd, I guess another face, you know, palm to face moment would be calling my agent right after I'd sent an audition asking, hey, how did they like it? Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. They don't like that. And that was my first, LA agent I had is Osbrink Talent Agency. I'd sent an audition. I thought it was really good. But I called my agent, not even an email. I'd call and ask to speak to my, hey, I just wanted to call to say, you know, I haven't heard about that audition that I just did like, you know, yesterday afternoon. I know it's not even been 24 hours, but yeah. So what'd they think? Did they like it? Any feedback?
Yeah, you only do that once, yeah, but yeah, hey, at least you got through to them.
My agent sent me straight like, Chris, we'll call you. Don't call us. All right.
Julia Iotti, I think that's how you pronounce that, says, I've been hearing a lot of people having allergies, colds, or just feeling under the weather, including myself. I've been having a cough. What's your cure to keep your voice in top shape, especially with all the pollen that's out there right now here in Southern Cal?
Yeah. I don't have allergies, thank God, but yeah, getting sick is the worst. I drink a lot of water, and that helps you know, keep my, you know, the cells of my body strong, fights off infection. I've done things like I've added a steam shower to my. This was advice I got from an opera singer that I was at a cocktail party. We're chatting and. I don't know how we got into steam showers. No, we didn't literally get into a steam shower. but anyway, that topic came up and he talked about how vocal health and how a steam shower is great. And so I had that, eventually did that. That was a nice, also being a corporation, I could expense the construction of a steam shower with the tax benefits from that. But, I try to wash my hands like a germaphobe, take the vitamins. And then when I do get sick, the first hint of a cold, and it actually does work, is those zinc tablets. I guess there's Coldies and Zicam. That really
stuff.
Does seem to help. But you got it the very first sign of that cold. You start feeling that little tickle in the back of your throat, start pounding them like every 2 hours or something like that. That seems to really... reduce the amount or the severity of the cold. Then if it hits me and it just knocks me on my butt, I get a steroid injection. Not recommended, talk to your doctor, but it's because it can mess with your internal organs and steroids and stuff, so you don't want to do that. As a matter of fact, my doctor does check my records and say you don't want to do this more than like once or twice a year. But it, for me, it's like my livelihood. I work literally. I'm blessed to work literally every day, and doing campaigns. When I have to do a pickup or a price change for Kubota, you know, so they're keeping the body of the spot the same. So 90% of it was something I recorded months ago, and then we're updating the offer. You know, offer good until June 30th. Well, now we're updating it to be October 30th or whatever. So I got to do a pickup of the offer. And if I have a cold, I'm going to sound different than I did when I first recorded it. So So it's one thing to
Starch Friday.
Yeah. So
Starch Friday.
Sounding consistent is critical. So I will do that. I will gargle with warm salt water. I will drink decaffeinated chamomile tea with lemon and manuka honey. I don't know if you guys, you know, the manuka honey thing. It's is it from Australia or New Zealand?
New Zealand.
It's got these like healing properties or something in the, and it's like for a little jar about yay big, it's like, you know, $40 or something like that. But it's pretty effective. And so all these little remedies and then rest. Don't use your voice. Try to get lots of sleep so you can recover. So your bodies and the cells within your body can kind of fight off the infection. And you get something as simple and you think it innocuous as just rest. No, it's not. It is very effective. So, that's what I do.
All right. We got time for like one more question here. We got one from Bettina Lentorno, listening to us and watching us on YouTube. She says, "Hi, Chris. I'm so happy to listen about your work and journey in VO. I have a question for you, and this is the place to do it. I'm a medical interpreter in English, Spanish, and Italian, and for the past year studied with Pat Fraley. I've just begun to market myself, and my genres of choice are medical narration and NGOs in my three languages. You have any marketing advice?"
Wow. Specifically for that?
Those, maybe not.
Wow, that is niche stuff. But you know what? That's great. Because niches need to be filled. And if that's something that you have an interest in, there is a market for that. And it's funny, the marketing in general. First of all, Pat Fraley, awesome guy. I took some of my early classes from him, and he's so he's just one of the warmest human beings. He gave me a great piece of direction telling me at the end of one of the classes. I said, "Hey, how did I do? How do you think I did?" You know, the very, very early in my career. And he says, "Well, it's hard to tell. You know, we just started working together, but you seem pretty good, but you took direction well." And I didn't really think that was much of a compliment when he said I took direction well. I'm like, "Well, you told me to read it faster. I read it faster. You told me to sound brighter. I sounded brighter." I didn't say that. I'm just thinking this, but I'm like, "Oh, thank you." But I'm thinking that's not much of a compliment. But I, in sessions, directors would tell me, "Oh, you did a really good job I asked you to take a second and a half off of a read, and I did it." Then it was like, "Well, great, thanks." Or, "You were brighter, and I did it." And I started getting compliments more and more like that, and it seemed to mean something. Where taking direction is actually in and of itself a skill, not just being a voice actor, but being able to change and transition on the fly in a session and give the director what they want. Because I'm just step number three or four in a 15-step process for the producer of a spot or a video game. The last thing they need to worry about is getting through a voiceover session. They just want to get through it and stuff. So anyway, he was a great guy. But marketing in general, I would establish whatever genre I was in, I would, anytime I would audition or get an email or get a contact or get a job, I would save those contacts, those emails. And then periodically, about 3-4 times a year, I would send an email to follow up. And now this list, and I do this a couple, you know, few times a year, this list is over 400 individual contacts. And I send out that many individual, not like the mass emails, because something personal, like sometimes I know a producer is a Dodger fan. So I'm like, "Hey, Dodgers are looking good. Hey, anyway, I just wanted to share my latest commercial spot or campaign. Have a good one," whatever. And more often than not, it's to my surprise, they'd come back to me and say, "Oh, hey, Chris, great to hear from you. Hey, you know, it just so happens we have this audition that came across, and you'd be perfect for it." So it always seems to generate job opportunities. So in your niche, as you develop contacts in that genre, in that industry, maintain those contacts and maintain any relationship that you get. Don't just like, "Oh, great, nice to meet you, bye," and then hope. No, keep in touch and keep track of your communications, because they come back, and you're building. You're a business owner. You're a and you got to build your business. And it's about who you know, not necessarily what you know.
Yeah, what we used to call a tickler file in the life insurance business. Anyway, Chris, it is a pleasure to talk with you again. It's been quite a while. And thank you so much for joining us tonight and letting us know all these important things about your amazing career so far. So good luck in the future.
Oh, hey, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. And we'll see you in another 8 years or so, yeah?
maybe not quite that long.
All right.
I'll see you in the summer, Chris.
Right.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. Chris Fries, our guest tonight. All right. George and I will be right back to wrap these things up and re-rack it for Tech Talk right after this.
You're still watching VOBS?
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. There's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products, and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources, and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, home studio setup, and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
Well, here's something don't get a chance to do much, and that's a live spot, like George does every week. But anyway, you know, one of the most important things you can do when you start off in voiceovers, you got to have a website. But early on, you know, when people are like trying to do websites, you know, some people are good at HTML and other people can do all sorts of stuff or use some sort of system and make their own website. But sometimes those are too detailed. And the fact of the matter is when you're trying to start in voiceover and you want to have a website, because you got to have a website, what you really need to do is go on over to a new sponsor, even though they're an old sponsor. Remember, voiceactorwebsites.com? Well, now we have voiceactor.com. Voiceactor.com is a great website. It's templated websites. So all you have to do is go in there and find a template that works for you, and you can customize it. And it can be free to start. So all you have to do is go over to voiceactor.com. They create websites that are mobile responsive, easy to use. You can edit it yourself, as I said, and it's built for voice actors by voice actors. So go on over to voiceactor.com, and what are you going to get? You're going to get a really great website really fast. And George and I have done it. We were able to do websites for our kids in 10 minutes or less. So go on over to voiceactorwebsites.com.
We are the World Voices Organization,
also known as WOVO. We're the not-for-profit industry association of freelance voice talent. VoiceOver is a complex entrepreneurial business.
WOVO is there to promote the professional nature of voice work to the public, to those already established in their voiceover practice,
and to those who want to pursue voiceover as a career.
Membership benefits include
a supportive and creative community,
a profile and demos on voiceover.biz, our searchable directory of vetted professional voice talent,
our exclusive demo player for your personal website,
our mentoring program, business resources, and our video library,
our annual WOVOCon conference, a fun and educational weekend with other members with the chance to learn and network,
webinars and great speakers, and weekly social chats with other members around the world.
If your world is voiceover,
make WOVO part of it. World Voices Organization.
We speak for those who speak for a living.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Ellis Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Yes, you are, and we're great having Chris on. He just has great stories, and we could probably have him on for another 3 or 4 hours and keep
Absolutely,
going with that.
Yeah. Salt of the earth, nicest guy ever, and it's great to see nice guys win with when they do the right things, and Chris is just, it's been awesome. I mean, I've been watching his career. Like, I mean, when I first helped him with his very first vocal booth, you know, and then he said, I'm ready to build something custom in like 2010. Ooh, I mean, it's just been an amazing thing to watch. I'm proud of him. Good
yeah.
guy.
Next week on this very show, or you could hang out and watch live, we've got Tech Talk number 101, which is going to be fabulous because we have all sorts of cool stuff to show you and to talk about. The week after that, the one and only Rebecca Davis will be joining us. Just a wonderful lady, Rebecca, and a very successful voice actor. And then after the week, about 2 weeks later, Dave Walsh, one of the best coaches in voiceover. Just
now they're returning our calls.
Yeah, now it's like, hey, okay, I'm done with all this stuff.
The spring travel season is worn down. They have more time now.
Yeah.
Great to have them all here.
Yeah. You've got a webinar coming up?
Boy, we do. We do a lot of them. And so the one coming up this go around is Reaper. First time that we are teaching a Reaper class. Well, let's say we, not me. I'm not teaching it. I'm not a Reaper expert. I'm bringing one in. His name is Steven Gonzalez. He is a real Reaper expert. So we have a beginner class on the third, actually at 3 p.m. The following Tuesday after this show. That would be the 18th. And then the week after would be the advanced version for people that feel like they're really already working efficiently in Reaper but want to learn a lot of new power user tricks. So, yeah, if you're interested in that, head over to georgethe.tech, go to the webinars page, and use VOBS Fan10 to get 10% off on really anything on georgethe.tech, including the webinars.
All right. And we have our weekly donors list, people who have been sending us donations to keep this show just amazing and technologically perfect most of the time. Anyway, Grace Newton.
Robert Leadham.
Steve Chandler.
Casey Clack.
Jonathan Grant.
Thomas Pinto.
Greg Thomas.
A Doctor Voice.
Antland Productions.
Martha Kahn.
949 Designs.
Christopher Epperson.
Sarah Borges.
Philip Sapir.
Brian Page.
Patty Gibbons.
Rob Ryder. Raider.
Shauna Pennington Baird.
Don Griffith.
Trey Mosley.
Diana Birdsall. And Sandra
Manwiller. I love how we say her name differently every time. I just can't. I don't know what's going on with that. Anyway.
Also, join our mailing list. It's starting to really grow because you guys are watching the show and you want to know what's going on. So go over to our website, vobs.tv, and click on Become a Subscriber, I think is what it says on the website. We need to thank our sponsors as well, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActor.com. And World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. Thanks to Jeff Holman for getting all the stuff together in the chat room. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks. And, of course, Sue Merlino, who's sitting there pushing all the buttons and making it look like this is an actual TV show. So we appreciate that. And, of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, we keep trying to bring you the best people in the business, and we're going to keep doing that for as long as we can keep doing it. And but the bottom line in voiceover is it's not an easy business. But when it comes to being a good voice actor and a good having good audio, if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Stay tuned for Tech Talk Live if you're watching us live and get to ask your questions. We'll see you next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.